B-Pod Studios.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about, man. You have to beef up the offensive line. You can put anybody in there in the backfield. I think Smallwood did run the ball extremely hard at, towards the end of the season.
Yeah, he came on strong towards the end, but look, throughout his career, and what, this is his third year in the NFL? This was his third year in the NFL? Where's the consistency? Give me some consistency.
It's
I've got none
third
of it.
Year.
The third year as a running back. His shelf life is not that long.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I just think a very good offensive line can, as the gentleman just mentioned, a very good offensive line can take an average running back and make him a good running back.
No, I believe they absolutely can. I appreciate the call, Jim. 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia. Broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Baxter. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to TheBaxter.com. Coming up in a couple of minutes, we'll be joined by your former teammate, a man that you coached up yourself there, Trey Thomas. Todd Harriman's good friend of yours as well. And Riley Cote, former Flyer, will be joining us. We'll talk to those gentlemen coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour. Still have our 76ers tickets to give away to the March 28th game against the Brooklyn Nets. Not only will you win a pair of tickets to that game, Trey Thomas, you'll also win a spot, one spot, in our knockout tournament on the court after the game. You could register for a spot in that tournament as well. In that competition, on our contest page at 975thefanatic.com. Nigel in South Philly, you're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Nigel?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey. I just got to tell you, I be in a messed up mood sometimes, and you guys just brighten my day up. Y'all funny as heck.
Oh, we try, man. Thanks.
Listen, I'm going to speak on the Sixers real fast. I don't think that we should look ahead to Boston, because it seems like every time we look ahead to a game, they always lose the one in front of them. So, just on that note, you know, I just want them to just focus on the Hornets right now and just try to get that win total up.
No, that's fine. I want them to do that as well. However, you and me, as fans, we want to see them look past them and go ahead and beat up a team like the Celtics. That's the bigger game to us.
I want to beat Boston more than anything. I can't stand those jokers, you know. But as far as for right now, they just need to take it one game at a time for me.
Yeah, I hope so, man. Do you have a action hero for us?
Listen, I don't know. Listen, the guy with Blank Man, he stole my thunder earlier.
Hold on a second. Nigel, listen. Two guys we're going to call with Blank Man today?
Listen, he had a good point. You got to admit it. Like, everything that he ran down about Blank Man was definitely on point. But
oh, he gave us a good couple of notes about Blank Man.
Right, exactly. But my whole thing, I don't think I heard anybody say Batman.
Nah.
Yeah, nobody mentions.
Hold on,
any of the comic book characters.
Yeah, which Batman?
Which Batman, though?
Oh, okay.
Ooh. Which Batman?
Yeah.
You know what? I like Christian Bale Batman.
A Batman.
Okay.
I like him. You know, it's just like,
is that Dark Knight or
that's Dark Knight? Yes.
Yeah.
It's not Batman Returns. It's not Michael Keaton.
No,
okay, okay.
That's a good one, Nigel. I'm going to put you in the running for our Sixers tickets. Here's the deal. The movie, what was it, Neighbors? Was that the movie with Seth Rogen?
Yeah, Zac Efron and Seth Rogen.
Yeah, and they have a conversation, kind of old school, new school, where they say, you know, okay, who's Batman to you? And Zac Efron, the younger guy, a frat boy in the movie, goes, oh, Christian Bale's Batman. I'm Batman. And then Seth Rogen's like, no, man, Michael Keaton's Batman. I'm Batman. Like, and I'm like, and then they start fighting. I'm Batman. Like, that's kind of the generational thing. It's like, who's your James Bond?
Michael Keaton was a beast at it, but the new Christopher Nolan Batmans are so much better.
Yeah, I haven't seen
tough.
I haven't seen your boy Ben Affleck
either have I. Sucked. Yeah, I heard don't even do it.
It was not good.
You acted like I was about to drink milk that was a month
don't
old.
Don't do it!
Just like, oh, no, it's a month old!
No, people said it's like, cringeworthy bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
Isn't Batman versus Superman, is that the one they're in together?
Justice League or something? I don't know.
It was awful. it's not good. It ain't good.
Well, thank you for saving me from that one.
But I'll tell you what, though. What's his name? I don't think you could ever do another Joker character after, what's his name?
Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger, man, he killed that role.
Well, here's the deal, though. After Jack Nicholson was the Joker, and people were like, well, there could never be another Joker because no one's beating that. And then Heath Ledger was like, hold my beer.
Yeah.
And he,
yeah, right?
Not only, like, look, I think they were both
It's crazy. I think they were both equally as great, but it was like two totally different characters.
Yeah.
It was like a textbook comic book character, Jack Nicholson, mm-hmm. and then there was like sinister, evil movie villain character, yeah. Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
They both played the same character, but totally different.
Yeah, he killed it, dog.
Yeah, it was incredible. Yeah. It was absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. If I had to go one or the other, though, I still like Jack Nicholson.
Mm, I don't know,
but the better acting performance was obviously Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger, yeah.
Yeah.
They were both tremendous.
Yeah.
It's the same character.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Same character in different ways. You hit it on the head, mm-hmm. Mark. It was,
make this pencil disappear.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
You have some arsenal in your imitation.
No, it was, poor man's.
Poor man's
performance. Poor man's performance. But back to the Sixers in this, because I want to hit this one more time with Terry Rozier in case you missed it. Now, the Sixers are going to face the Hornets tonight. I'm gonna guess the Sixers win this game. What was the line?
You're not even gonna watch it, knowing you. You're just giving up on it altogether.
Hold on a second. Is it 7 o'clock or 7:30?
Yeah, right. See, you don't know.
Of course I'll watch the game tonight, Bob.
Okay,
and then I'll be proud.
Sixers are favored by like 1.5, right, James?
Yeah,
didn't you say that earlier?
It opened at 1.5. It looked like it had moved down to almost a pick.
I feel like it's a 7 o'clock. Yeah, 7 o'clock game time tonight for the Sixers. I will be watching this. I'll watch the game. Now in the fourth quarter, I'll most likely start Temple.
In New Jersey, and you try hit on a player boost the other night. If there's a boost prop bet on Kemba Walker over 30 points, yeah. Probably worth taking a gander at.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely jump on
that. Hey. you roll the dice a wee bit, right?
He's only averaging 40 in the three games they played. So.
Yeah, he's going to struggle. And no JoJo tonight. We all mm-hmm. know that. We talked about that yesterday. However, I think the Sixers get this win tonight. I think they squeak out a bit of a win. I would say that line is about right. However, I'm going to be looking at this game. I'm looking forward to the game tomorrow night against the Celtics. I think a lot of fans are. They'll watch the game tonight. Now, the fourth quarter, God's honest truth, I got to watch my Temple Owls. We just talked to Fran Dunphy. Mm. We'll be flipping back and forth, seeing what's what, right? Now we're going to go on and see what happens on Wednesday night. But how about this for a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, if you will? Joel Embiid out tonight. He's going to be back tomorrow night against the Celtics. Terry Rozier was on what? Fox Sports 1, Jamie?
Yeah, with Kristen Leahy. First and 10.
And he was asked about Joel Embiid. Here's what Terry Rozier had to say.
First word that comes to mind when I say Joel Embiid.
Lame.
Why is that?
Just do a lot of talking. I respect his own court game. Just do a lot of talking.
Do you talk trash, though?
I wouldn't say I talk trash. Back in my day, I used to talk a lot of trash. Okay. But now I just, I try to go out there and get the job done. But if you say something to me, then I won't stop.
He's 25 years old back in elementary school.
Yeah. Back at recess.
Yeah, back when I was the best player on every court I stepped onto.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's the translation.
And all of a sudden he's grown up. Yeah, okay. Easy there, Terry Rozier. Whatever. But you don't think for a second that Joel Embiid is going to step on the court tomorrow night and like every shot he blocks, he's just going to be like, lame. Lame. Like every single shot that he goes after, that's going to be his trash talk. And I hope he goes after Terry Rozier above all else. Let's get to Paul in Northeast. You're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Paul, are you worried about this running back situation as well?
Not really.
Okay, good.
I think in the age of concentration on situational football, you've got three different running backs, three different styles. I think you can keep defenses on their heels and not get them used to trying to stop one type of running style. If you got good offensive line play, but in the trenches, I think you can do it. I really don't think that's going to be an issue, even if you don't get that bell cow running back.
Yeah,
exactly.
The Eagles have a good offensive line last year?
Yes, absolutely.
They were 15th in the league in rushing?
Yeah, they struggled.
No, they were worse than that, actually.
Yeah, let me.
And the year they won the Super Bowl, they were about third or fourth in the NFL in rushing?
Yeah, the first year they were a lot better.
So I hate to tell people this. I understand that running back is maybe not nearly as important as it was years ago. However, it's still pretty important. You still need talent at positions, and running back's a pretty good position to have some talent at.
I think they do have the talent. I just think that if they work out a good rotation, keep those guys fresh, and keep the defenses guessing, I don't really think that's going to be that big of a problem.
Josh Adams, Corey Clement, Wendell Smallwood. Those are your running backs right now?
If need be, with the other weapons that we have, with Ertz and Goddard coming out and Wentz healthy and a good offensive line, yeah, I think they can I mean, look who the Patriots have at running back. You really don't see any game breakers. You know, I mean, they got a couple guys that can punch at him when need be, but you know, you're not having any leading rushers coming from those teams.
Yeah, I hope we'll see.
And you have for New England, you have the man, what's his name? It's
Sony Michel.
Sony Michel. Yeah. Now he was nice. He was good running back, but I mean, his offensive line did a good job getting him up to the second level. So you know.
Action guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Did anybody say Jack Ryan?
Nobody said Jack Ryan. See, now we're going with guys that are, you know, we went to the comic book world, and now we're going more into the, reoccurring character. No one actually said James Bond. You said James Bond, Jamie, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. All right, Paul, you're in the running for our 76ers tickets. Now, in studio with us right now, we talked about this yesterday. They're joining us now, formerly of the Philadelphia Flyers. Riley Cote is in with us. Good morning, Riley.
Good morning, guys.
Good to have you, sir. Good to see you. And Todd Harriman's rejoining the show.
All right.
Good day.
All right. Do we need to get the dump button ready?
The what?
Get the dump button?
I forgot that happened.
Oh,
I forgot. I'm cursing Todd.
Get ready.
Leave it to you. Leave it to you, Trey, to remember that.
I put a lot of coffee in me this morning. Get it ready.
Finger on the button. Ready to go. Now, Riley and Todd, you guys are making some rounds because you guys have a little message you're trying to get out to people. What are you guys getting involved with right now?
Yeah, we're actually kind of doing a little mini tour on just promoting our industrial hemp CBD product line. And just trying to provide a sustainable resource for all people. But we've learned through sports that, you know, pain is real, inflammation is real, anxiety is real, and sleep issues are very real. And, you know, all these things combined, you know, equate to, you know, illness. So we're trying to, you know, we're trying to change the game with sustainable ways to manage that. So hemp is big right now, and I'm trying to push that along.
Now, with some people, Todd, it's still very controversial. So when you get the pushback, if any, from people, how do you guys address that?
That's easy. This is completely legal. It was passed in the Farm Bill recently. CBD is completely legal for sale. You can get it on the internet. It's not psychoactive. So, like, you're getting oil from the hemp plant. You're not getting it from the cannabis plant. So it's not psychoactive. You know, it's you're not going to get high. You know, I enjoy that, but, you know, it didn't work for me. So, but the thing is,
side note,
it works because I keep going back to it, even though it doesn't get me high. You know what I mean? So it works. It's an easy replacement for anti-inflammatories, which, Trey, you know that you get put on that system, on that routine every day, and it's hard on your system. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is just a healthy, natural replacement for it.
What's the name of the product?
Body Check Wellness.
Okay.
Our website is bodycheckwellness.com, BODYCHEK. Play on words there. And we have, how many different products do we have right now available?
We have 13 different products available right now. You know, we've tinctures, capsules, topicals, but it's, you know, it's high anti-inflammatory. And what we've learned that this, everyone responds, you know, differently to it, but it seems to be when people start taking it, for one reason, they realize it helps with another. And typically it's anxiety and sleep, but it's general well-being. You know, we're trying to wake up in the morning feeling, you know, refreshed and recovered. And, you know, that's the idea without the Ambien and the sleeping pills and the muscle relaxers and, you know, the whole gamut of pills. You know, we're trying to eliminate that way of healing and, you know, give guys a natural, sustainable way of doing that.
Now, not to get too heavy with you guys, but I mean, speaking with Todd Harriman's and Riley Cote, there are certain phrases, Todd, that Trey has eliminated me from saying. One is throw shade.
Yeah, throw shade.
And I believe another one is heavy. I can't say those things anymore.
Is that out of his age?
I just feel like when he says throw shade,
is he
shades,
not allowed to say things like just, lit as well?
lit is still what he hasn't used, but throwing shade, it kind of makes us sound like a housewife show.
He's watching too much
I don't watch it. It happens to be on, and my wife is watching.
You guys
doing
the confessionals right out there on the sofa?
I'm like, all right, dude, that's it. No more throwing shade. You know, that's it.
Well, not to be too deep with you fellas, but you know, Todd Harriman's Riley Cote in studio with us right now, and just. I mean, the struggles, Todd, as a football player, and then Riley, the way you played the game of hockey, oh my God.
Yeah.
The struggles that you guys had to go through to try to get that sleep, to try to, you know, get away from the pain and all that stuff, physical pain and all that. So how much has something like this helped you, Riley?
Oh, it's been huge. And the one thing I haven't talked about is the neuroprotectant properties of these cannabinoids. So, you know, me being in over 250 fights and, you know, literally getting punched in the face for a living, this is what I seek to help, you know, mitigate some of the long-term damage of me getting punched in the face. So there's a lot of science behind, you know, treating concussions, PTSD, and TBI with this stuff. And that's a whole other world that we're trying to attack is, you know, this concussion topic and, the mental health topic, because God knows we have a crisis on our hands. And, you know, we're trying to be on the right side of history with this, of the pain, the anxiety, and the mental health portion of it. So this is very real, but we've learned from our hardships, and that's why we're doing what we do.
And Todd, same reasons, I assume?
Yeah, same thing. I think that, like, you know, going through a professional career in football, it's like a really short period of traumatic events for your body. You know, it's not that stuff that people don't experience, but people experience it over a lifetime. But in football, you get it all like bam in like 5 years, you know. So this really helps for replacing, you know, just the routine of pills that you're on every day. You know, I wake up and I pop a capsule of our mushroom blend, which is called Enhance. And I love it. I just get clarity throughout the day. It's got some CBD in it. I don't take any anti-inflammatories anymore. I don't have to take any sleeping pills. I don't have to take any painkillers or anything like that.
Now, when it comes to like the different products that you guys have here, because I'm going over to going through some of your stuff. Because, you know, a lot of people don't understand, like, with the strands, like, what different strands can help for whatever different elements. So, is there, like, a part of this where you can say, okay, you know what I need it for, you know, clarity or for pain or for, you know, sleep or whatever it is? Do you have different parts of that on here for different products?
We do. And you know, what's unique about this is we're really focusing on the recovery process. And when I say that, it's inflammation, pain, gotcha, anxiety, sleep, and brain, mental health stuff. We don't talk about disease state stuff, which, you know, CBD is typically talked about. So all of those are adaptogens, and they all really kind of work with your body on what you're trying to accomplish. So if even though you're using it for anxiety, it's not going to make you sleepy at the time. But when you do sleep, it's going to help with that. Good. The mushroom blend, if you're looking for immunity, and anything above and beyond the CBD for mental health stuff, the mushroom blend, the medicinal mushrooms, the lion's mane, the cordyceps, there's six of them actually in that capsule, but that's more what you'd seek for clarity, focus.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? So there is different, but I mean, the tinctures, I mean, no matter what you're looking for, they kind of accomplish everything. Good. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Coming up in about, what, a week from tomorrow, you guys have an event coming up at Fieldhouse, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
Is this open to the public?
It is.
All right, tell me a little bit about this event.
It really lands up being just an educational and industry networking event, just for people that are, you know, want to learn more about the science of how these you know, these different products work, as well as getting into the industry. There's a ton of job opportunity within the space, and, you know, investment opportunities. So it's just kind of networking within people in Philadelphia.
Is clientele mostly ex-athletes, or do you find all walks of life?
All walks of life. I mean, yeah. I feel like athletes are drawn to it because it's an easy, natural, like, replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think that, oh, the athletes can take it because they're way more beat up than us. But the reality is everybody's got pain. If you're taking Motrin in the morning or ibuprofen or something, you can take CBD oil, you know, instead. Right. It'll work, you know?
Yeah.
How many older clients would you say come in to get treatment like this?
Don't look at me, Trey. I knew it was coming.
Not what I'm talking about.
Bob, I know you old school.
I'm asking for a friend.
Bob, I want to go get him a zigzag. You know?
If that person was sitting across from me right now wearing a Gamecocks hat, would you say that they could help that person? He has ankle issues. No, but in all seriousness, how many maybe people are on up in age a little bit that are having issues will come to you guys or come to a service like this?
Well, I mean, I don't want to call my mother old, but she is starting to deal with some, like, issues going down the road of life. And as far as I can remember, my mother was waking up and popping 800 milligram of Motrin in the morning just to deal with her arthritis and stuff. And when I got involved with Riley in the space, and just learn more about it, I was like, hey, Mom, why don't you try this for like a week, you know, see what happens. And she's been doing it ever since then. You know, she does it, completely replace the ibuprofen, and she's found all sorts of better side effects from it, like sleep, digestion, all sorts of stuff.
Because I have seen, you know, a lot of the younger, you know, I don't know, younger people will look at this and be, I don't want to use the word open mind and look down on someone else who disagrees with it or whatever, but I have heard from more younger people being like, oh, that's totally an option, go that route, that's fine. And then I've heard of older people using it and they'll say, oh, look what they have to resort to, as if they're looking down on it. And it seems like that mystique should be gone in a few years, I hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what we're trying to work on, is just kind of ending the stigma on this whole thing. Is we're talking about a plant here, and I think we seem to demonize, you know, Mother Nature very easily. I understand that prohibition has caused a lot of misunderstanding around this plant, but you know, the same people that want to demonize are the same people that have no problem, you know, swallowing jars of pills. So, you know, we need to change the way we heal, and you know, culturally, we need to change the way we do things, because it's not sustainable. You know, most of these medicines tax the liver heavily. There's a lot of dependence and addiction that come along with it. We didn't mention the opioid addiction that we have going on in this country and in North America. It's very real. You know, and the cannabis and hemp plant have the ability to help, you know, really put a dent into this, is possibly be the real solution for this. So there's a lot of depth to this, but it comes with giving people a real sustainable way to manage their life, increase quality of life, general well-being. But my parents use it as well, and we see like the baby boomers in the geriatrics, you know, community really leaning on this as well. It's all across the board. Everyone has something to manage, and you know, there's a tool for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, my wife just had ACL surgery, and this is what she used after surgery. She didn't even use any narcotics at all. So,
ACL it works. Surgery. What's going on?
Right, we're getting physical over there.
Let's get physical. I wanna get physical.
Yeah, it's because y'all are with two kids in.
It's a mess over there, dude.
if you want more information on what Riley and what Todd are talking about, bodycheckwellness.com, check spelled C-H-E-K. There's an event going on a week from tomorrow at the Fieldhouse, 7 to 9, did I see?
That's right.
Okay, 7 to 9 at Fieldhouse in Center City. So check them out there. Now, I got to ask you guys this question here, because you guys took on great leadership roles when you guys were playing here in Philadelphia. There was a situation with the Phillies. I have to just run by you real quick, if you wouldn't mind just analyzing this for me, Riley and Todd. I don't know if you saw this.
I heard rumblings, but I don't know the deets.
Carlos Santana got wind of some teammates last year during an epic collapse by the Phillies. They only won 19 games from August 5th to the end of the year. That's like 2 months. Only won 19 games in baseball. And he felt it necessary when he heard that teammates were playing Fortnite in the clubhouse during games. He took a bat and went and busted up the TVs while the guys were playing. Is that similar how you guys would handle the situation, or would you have handled it differently?
I mean, what's the cost of a TV in the Major League Baseball?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think
it's all about the message. Yes. And that's what he was, and I think it was message received.
Yeah.
Riley's like, why'd he hit the TVs? What about the play? No.
I was thinking the same thing.
Because they probably each got a station in their locker.
Yeah.
Just replace it.
Right, small price to pay for a real message. You know, you got to teach these guys sometimes as a leader, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, that's the stuff just doesn't fly in locker rooms. I've never seen it. I mean, I don't know. Animals or football or baseball is a different animal than hockey. You never see a, you know, PlayStation or a Wii in a locker room, but
crossing
the line during
you
a game.
You couldn't really hang out in the locker room during the game of football.
Yeah, no, it
so
could happen.
A whole different world.
Maybe that new medical tent they have that they put up when you guys have that, like, yeah, I don't know, just like have them set up a little PS4, have some fun.
Well, just a suggestion. PSP, get some head-to-head combat.
Yeah, like how did you feel like when we had one of those nice long Thursday practices at the beginning of the season, then you come in and John and Akers in there already inside, you know, playing a little Halo.
Right. Yeah, right, right.
How would that go down?
Yeah.
The benefits of a special team.
I want to get your thoughts on the teams that you guys were playing for as they currently are right now. Riley, looking at the fly, are you still coaching? I know you were with in the Phantoms organization for a while.
I am not. I haven't been for these past two seasons.
Yep. Okay. So when you look at the Flyers from afar now, right, and what they've been able to do over the course of this season, about 6 points out of a playoff spot right now, Carter Hart, everybody's talking about. Some people are questioning Claude Giroux now and whatever as a captain. But when you look at the Flyers right now and all the changes they made this season, what are you seeing?
Well, you know, since Christmas, they've had one of the hottest records in the NHL. So, I mean, you know, as far as dealing with adversity and that whole bit, I think they've certainly turned, you know, turned the right direction. They got a goalie going into next season. Whatever happens this year, I mean, you know, they're still 6 points out. They got a lot of work ahead of them these last 10 games. You know, if they squeeze in, no matter what happens, they got some good pieces going into next year. I mean, people want to hate on him. He's still great. You know, you have to sort of surround him with a few extra players, I feel. And, you know, they got some young D-man happening. But, you know, the goaltender going to next year and probably the next 10 years, I mean, he's real. I had him the last 10 games or so when I was with the Phantoms there. And he's special. He's mature. And he's with the Flyers and the Philadelphia City have been waiting for a long time.
You've had him when he was like 16 or 17 years old. Like, that's how young he was when you were there. I mean, he's only 20 now. What, not even? Like, he's just a kid, and he seems like he's got the wherewithal of a 40-year-old.
Yeah, you know, he's a guy hired like a mind coach when he was 12. And one of those guys, you know, he's dialed in. He's focused. You know, he's way ahead of his time, for sure.
And Todd.
Give my kid a mind coach.
Todd, the Eagles recently reacquired one of your former teammates. Deshaun Jackson, UN Trey. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts on that move?
I like it. I like it for Deshaun and his career. Come back here to the city. You know, he's still fast. I think that he has something to add, at least this season, you know. And, you know, all the locker room cancer, I'm not on that.
Give me more on that. Because people try to stir up stuff that he was some kind of big troublemaker or whatever. Do you remember Deshaun like that at all?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, Deshaun was young, and there was times when things didn't go his way. But, I mean, everybody in that locker room has those moments. You know what I mean? It really takes a special person to rise above every situation throughout your entire career. And I think Deshaun is great in the locker room. I think that he's going to bring an energy, a little bit of confidence and bravado to the team that they, you know, weren't lacking. But it always helps to have some more. And I think Howie's been making some nice moves, creative, you know, restructuring to get some cap space and stuff. I'm excited. I like the moves this offseason.
All right. Can you guys stick around a little bit? Can you guys hang out a little bit longer?
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to you guys a little bit more coming up in a few. We got Chris, Brian, Mitch. We'll get to you guys in a few. 610-632-0975. We got more with Todd Harriman's Riley Cote coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, for ZA and Trey in the morning here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We have Todd Harriman's and Riley Cote in studio with us. They have an event going on at the Fieldhouse coming up in a week from tomorrow. Also, you can check out all the things they're doing. Follow them on Twitter. Todd, you still at Mr. Harriman's?
I believe so. I think it's just at Todd Harriman's.
At Todd Harriman's.
Let me check. You know, I'm new to the gram. If anybody wants to give me a follow on the Instagram. Yeah, at Todd Harriman's on Twitter. And Todd Harriman 79 on the gram.
And Riley Cote, Riley R-I-L-E-E, Cote, you go Coyote?
Is the gram
Riley Coyote
age appropriate for me? Should I call it Instagram? Whatever.
You go with whatever you feel, cool. You know.
Trey's the judge, jury, and executioner.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, you go with it. You know, the gram is cool.
Yeah. He's opinionated.
See, Todd, you already went through your battles with Trey. I'm still in the learning phase. So he has given you that respect. Me, still have to earn it. Still have to earn it. But you guys
he's
got
teaching you?
I am a lot wiser than I was 6 months ago. So let's just put it that way.
There, man. It's cool. It's good. It's been good.
Trey's got great life perspective.
That he does.
Experience.
That he does. Yeah. That he does. Let's get to Chris real quick at Plymouth meeting he's been holding. Chris, what's going on, brother?
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
Hey, so how come we find out from a Cleveland interview about what happened in the Phillies clubhouse in September?
How come? Because it was a Cleveland interview.
Oh, no, I understand that, but I'm saying it happened in September. somebody smashes up a TV, Gabe Kapler changes the rules for the players, and nobody in Philadelphia picks this up?
Yeah.
How come?
I guess they did a good job of covering it up.
Fortnite Gate.
Fortnite Gate. They did a good job of covering up the video games. I don't know. It is odd that it doesn't come out till now.
All right. And I got to say, the only current Philly I heard interviewed about it, or I read interviewed about it, was Arrieta.
And yes.
I got to say, he doesn't have a whole lot of credibility, right? He gets injured in June. He pitches lousy for 4 months. And he doesn't tell the team that he's hurt, and then he doesn't have surgery till January, and he's going to be the enforcer? Come on.
That's what I said, Chris. That's what I said at the time.
My theory,
the guy goes through the entire offseason, and now all of a sudden, a week before spring training, he's got to have surgery.
My theory, this was a pitcher's thing. These were pitchers playing this game.
Well, supposedly Nick Williams was one of the culprits
and
as well.
Nick Williams, Dan.
Pitchers
and Nick Williams.
Maybe the pitchers were like, hey, you other players aren't supposed to be chilling like this. This is like a bullpen thing. You guys shouldn't be doing this.
Oh, they ratted him out. Maybe.
They were getting jealous that everybody was getting a little too cozy in the clubhouse. And
I think it was like a pitcher's thing because everybody else is on the field.
I don't know if that's true, man. Guys that just aren't even up in the lineup, they just go chill in the clubhouse, I feel like.
Apparently.
That's so weak.
Apparently
like,
they
that's
go,
nuts.
Yeah.
Bro, I heard game it. Going I on mean, out there, and you're in the clubhouse.
I think that you can like set up like meetings and stuff with people, like have business meetings and stuff while the game's going on if you really want to. They got all that money they got to take care of.
Todd makes a fine point. Here's the thing, though. Carlos Santana is like the older veteran on the team, is apparently the guy that got really pissed off about everything. And went in there and broke things up. Literally, Gabe Kapler said that he broke TVs.
Yeah.
Not like one TV.
Well, because Fortnite isn't a game that you play with someone right next to you. It's an online type thing, so.
Well, can't you also play solo?
I don't know.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You can play solo, but for you to have multiple guys playing at the same time, they're all playing solo on different screens.
Yeah, they don't do the split screens anymore.
It's not
in the Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it's not like the Halo where you have four different little screens.
They
that
might
pop
even
up.
Have their own rooms they're playing in.
But the other part is apparently they were doing it in the room where you would watch your at bats. And watch a pitcher's delivery to try to, like, study film.
I don't know, dude. Sounds like a case of roid rage, kind of.
Accusations at baseball players from Todd Harris. Let's get our boy Mitch is up here. Mitch in East Windsor. What's up, bud?
I said
what's
road
happening,
rage.
Fellas? Good show.
Oh. Thanks, Mitch. What's up?
Come on, 4 hours is not enough for you. You've got too much of a gap between your radio and your TV star on there.
Oh, well, it's mostly digital work now with NBC Sports Philadelphia. Thank you.
Well, that's all right. I'll have to call him. They'll listen to me, right? Tobias Harris, I think that was a great trade. I hope they sign him long term. And he'll pick up the slack where Joel needs his time off. I think he gets more vacation than I do. But Tobias Harris, that was a great trade. And I think he's more important than Butler for now and in the future.
Would you rather have them both next year or just if one of the two, Tobias Harris?
Tobias Harris. But preferably both because you did give up a lot for both these guys and all these wheeling and dealing these last 5 years. I mean, you would have a better bench if you wasn't so much wheeling and dealing like a deck of cards with these free agents and draft choices and trades.
Mitch, thanks for the call, but I appreciate it. My thing with Jimmy Butler, if I get this version of Jimmy Butler, the closer Jimmy Butler, I'm taking him over Tobias Harris. Much as I love Toby, I think he'll be the more obtainable one, but I think if I get Jimmy Butler, the closer, the one that we saw against the Bucks on Sunday, I'm going Jimmy Butler all the way.
Well, you start to wonder if Jimmy Butler came here, felt it all out, like, all right, where is my role here? And he's 29, he's just revving up now for the playoffs. Like, okay, now's my go time.
Yeah, if he was feeling out the situation, right?
Yeah, and you figure out where he fits, what he does best, and then, he knows what his game is. Now he's just, seeing where it best fits.
Okay, so speaking of kind of feeling things out, we made the analogy of a fighter, yesterday with Jimmy Butler, kind of feeling out where everyone's going to go, if you're going to react to this jab, if you're going to react to that punch. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask you this a second ago, Riley Cote's in studio and Todd Harriman's. I wanted to ask you this before the break, but we ran out of time, and I want to get this right now with you. Is hockey better now than what it was when you were coming up through the ranks? And coming into the Flyers, less fighting in the sport, doesn't seem as physical as it was. Is this a better brand of hockey than what you grew up knowing?
I don't think so. I think there's a hybrid that needs to happen where you keep the accountability in the game,
and you also increase the skill and the speed of the game, which we've had. We've already, you know, even when I retired in 2010, the game was pretty fast. You know what I mean? It wasn't, yeah. You know what I mean? It's, I understand there's probably not the need for one-dimensional fighters like myself. I do accept that, but I do see more headshots, less respect, and more brain injury because of the game, the way the game is played now, because the guys are bigger, faster, stronger. And then there's no self-policing, there's no accountability, so now guys just go on the power play special teams and capitalize that way. So I think there needs to be a balance. I mean, there's something to be said about being kept accountable.
Speaking of headshots, did you see Jake Voracek, his quote-unquote...
Yeah, I did.
The quote-unquote hit he had the other day, who was it, Boychuk, I think it was?
Yeah.
Two-game suspension, he just came back from it. What did you make of that?
Yeah, they're targeting any headshot. I mean, it's. I think 5 years ago that would have been nothing. Now, right. Now they have to make a legit call on that and suspend guys. But that's kind of my point too. Is like stuff like that. You know, even pre-instigator rule, that stuff didn't happen. You know what I mean? It was cleaned up because of grown men taking care of business and being accountable for their actions. Now it's, again, it's lack of respect, entitled young hockey players that are unbelievably skilled. Don't get me wrong. But, again, Philly, I mean, it's like meat and potatoes, broadsheet bullies. Not that it's going to go back like that. But there's a fine line there of going too skilled, opening up too much, where now your superstars are getting hurt. I mean, you know, a guy like Sidney Crosby, you know, back in the day, that wouldn't have happened. He wouldn't have 7 concussions by the age of 30. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because superstars never got touched. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, Wayne Gretzky never got touched.
Right.
For that exact reason. So, I mean, there has to be, to me, a balance within this whole thing, because there's more and more injuries. And I think the number was, 4% of all brain injury concussions came from fighting. So that means 96% are coming from somewhere else. So, we have to be able to slow down the game a little bit, you know, almost to help our defensemen out, protect our guys a little bit, you know? So it's a fine line. The game's unbelievably fast and skilled. I love it. But I watch some of these games and I just like, just wondering where the jam is, you know, where it is.
We were at a game a couple weeks ago, and this is God's honest truth, Jame, right? It was middle of the second period and we saw the first hit of the game.
Yeah.
Like up against the boards. It was the first hit of the game.
Yeah. No, I know. I have a hard time, me being like an emotional guy and, you know, and a physical guy to watch it. It's like, geez, it's only been 9 years since I've played. And yeah, how has it gone this far the other way? That was at the end of the road with the tough guy role. So. Mm. I don't know.
So before we let you guys go, Todd and Riley,
yeah.
We're asking all the people this today because today is a very special day. Today is Bruce Willis's birthday. So of all the movie characters, action movie characters out there ever, if you could be one action movie character, who would it be? Because I would go Jeff McClane. I would go Die Hard Trilogy. I'd go Die Hard movies with Bruce Willis, not just because it's his birthday, but because I believe it's the greatest action figure of all time, action hero of all time. Who would you guys go with?
I don't know, man.
Maybe. It's a tough question, I know.
I might go on Arnold.
Oh,
see, Jamie went Arnold.
I went last action hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Rambo.
I was going to go Jean-Claude Van Damme. Like just,
oh, Jean-Claude. Oh,
that's not bad.
Wait,
oh.
like Bloodsport?
Yeah. I think, yeah. And it's a heavy martial arts.
Kumite?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely not the Jean-Claude Van Damme that's, hawking Tostitos now. The guy that's out there, playing Bloodsport and the Kumite. Exactly. Yeah.
You want the Van Damme. He's dipping his knuckles in an avocado and chips.
The Van Damme when he played his twin.
What the heck was the name of that?
I don't know.
Awful. I want to say it was Double Trouble.
Was that the one with Dennis Rodman? He was in one with Dennis Rodman.
No, it wasn't the one with Dennis Rodman. That was another one. But, now I'm going down a rabbit hole of 90s Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. So we got an Arnold movie, and we got Jean-Claude Van Damme. Not too bad. Bloodsport, I think, would have to be the way to go there. Riley Cote, Todd Harrimans, thanks so much. You're both involved, obviously, in BodyCheckWellness.com. Body Check spelled C-H-E-K, check right there. BodyCheckWellness.com. Are you both at Fieldhouse on
We're partying. Spreading the good word.
Very good. Okay, very good. We appreciate you guys coming in. Thanks for spreading the good word. Great catching up with you guys. And as always, don't be strangers, all right?
Thanks for having us on.
Our absolute
pleasure.
Have
some samples on the way. They'll be here overnight.
Oh, okay.
You guys are having tomorrow.
Yeah, that's good. I like samples.
I know you like samples.
Yeah, samples are good.
There we go. And then a little more painting. 610-632-0975. Todd Harriman's Riley Cote. Great catching up with you guys. We got TJ will take coming up in a few here on 97.5, the finale.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. TJ's been holding in Point Pleasant. He wants to ask us about Joel Embiid. What's on your mind today, TJ?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I just had some kind of like mixed feelings about Joel sitting out tonight. I wanted to know what you guys thought. Do you think it's a good idea? Or, you know, part of me thinks that, you know, it's good to get him some rest because we play Boston tomorrow. But at the same time, I think this team needs, you know, as many games as they can get as a unit together before heading to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's the other side of it. I think it's a good idea. I think I'm willing to sacrifice a game against the Hornets, you know, if it means that I can get Joel Embiid back 100% and playing against the Celtics. I'm actually for it. I usually hate rest periods like this, but I'm trying to forget about what happened at the All-Star break with him playing 23 minutes in that game and then missing games after that, eight games. So I'm actually for it, him getting a break before coming back against the Celtics.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I kind of also just think that, you know, Kemba Walker, hit or miss, Charlotte plays pretty much however well he plays, basically. So,
he plays kinda, well against the Sixers, though, that's for sure.
Exactly. That's all I wanted to know. Wanted your thoughts on it. Cause, you know, I kind of do think they need to get as many games as they can together, especially against an all-star like Kemba Walker. But, you know, I guess, yeah, but he needs, we need to beat the Celtics tomorrow. It's more important. I don't want to go swept by them going into playoffs.
Yeah, and we were talking about TJ. Thanks for the call, Bob. But what do they have left? Three back-to-backs or two back-to-backs after this one?
After this one, two more, yeah. He's going to miss at least two more games.
All right.
I would assume JJ's going to miss a game here or there. I think Jimmy Butler might. You might want to get Tobias a little bit of a rest. So it's rare, besides tomorrow night. It's going to be rare that you're going to see all those guys together.
Now, I am in the school of, yes, letting them get as much playing time as possible together.
Yes, I am too.
However, this game against Boston is the big one. Because this is the game that you really want to get the measuring stick out to see how you do against the Celtics. Have Joel Embiid at 100%. They don't feel like he can be that after a back-to-back. So this is the last time that I expect or I would want Joel Embiid to sit out, albeit if they don't have a playoff spot specifically clinched maybe by the last game of the season against the Bulls. But I want to see him play when they play the back-to-back with Minnesota and Dallas. I want to see him play when they have the back-to-back with Atlanta and Milwaukee. After that, yeah, go ahead and take a break.
Go ahead
after that, yes. This is the one.
I would see him sitting against Atlanta that Wednesday night and then be here to play Milwaukee on Thursday.
If I had to bet money, that's what the Sixers are going to do. That's not what I would do.
Right, I hear you. I hear you on that. And if there's playoff implications, who knows? You know, who knows where you have to be? Look, he's played back-to-back all year up until now, so it's not out of question that why can't you throw him in there back-to-back? He can do it.
Right. All right. Sam, go ahead and put a bow on the Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation.
This morning we asked, is Gabe Kapler the right manager to lead this Phillies clubhouse? We had just under 1,500 votes today. 55% said yes, Gabe Kapler is the guy.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Slim majority. Slim majority. How about your takeaway of the day? Let's get those going, starting it off with Sam Wilson.
My takeaway of the day is that a racer pigeon is worth way more than I am worth, and that is depressing.
How much was it worth again?
$1.4 million.
You are worth way more than that.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
You are special. You are kind.
And gosh darn it, you're good enough.
Jamie, takeaway of the day.
My takeaway of the day isn't something from the show, but a line I see tonight.
A line?
We might have ourselves a Temple Owls line.
What?
+3.5.
How about that? Not bad. Not bad at all. Bob Cooney, take away.
I haven't thought about the movie Top Gun in a long time, but, you know, cool movie. Not bad. But the fact that Jamie's line about it was they had dog tags glistening off of their bare chests kind of makes me look at it in a different light right now.
You're welcome.
There we go. Thank you, Jamie. And Patrick Swayze. Mm-hmm. That's Jamie's boy now.
Fine item.
They cut the locker room scene for a reason, Bob.
Trey Thomas, take away the day.
Man, people are really on the fence with Gabe Kapler now, all of a sudden.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, it's like he's
dripping with sweat.
It's like he's worked his way up to being on the fence. Most people just wanted to fire him.
Yeah.
And he's worked his way up to.
Now he's up on the fence.
Yeah, now
it was a very valiant effort.
Welcome to Philly.
Take him or leave him, I guess, at this point. Good for him. My takeaway of the day is that Riley Cote, totally different. If Riley Cote could be any other action figure or be an action figure, it'd be Jean-Claude Van Damme in Bloodsport.
Great answer.
Yeah. It is a phenomenal
answer.
Good answer. Stay tuned for Gargano and Bertina's Middays here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.